Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Jackson State post-game breakdown. I'm here with Brad Sturdy. We're going to talk a little bit about what we saw tonight and some of the things that were out there. Was exciting game. Illinois won by 24. So if you thought they were going to win by 24 and a half, you wish they would have thrown up a shot there at the end, but we're a classy team. Brad, you obviously were there courtside. What are your thoughts coming out of this game? I know Jackson State wasn't a world beater, but there was a lot of adversity against Illinois with the injuries and the players who were sitting out tonight, and they seemed to respond to that.
No question. I mean, when you're missing your, you know, two All-Americans plus the defensive player that you're, you know, potentially, then you throw in the fact you're missing four of your top six, you're missing your first string, second string, and third string point guards as well. You put all that together, and that's not a recipe for success very often. So they showed a lot of toughness, showed a lot of grit. They battled. They did a great job on the rebounding on the glass. They, you know, obviously Jacob Grandison and Coleman Hawkins are guys who really stepped up. I thought Alfonso Plummer showed a floor game. Really kind of, and you got the freshmen, you got their feet wet. They got to get out in their first college game. And how cool was it to have a full State Farm Center for the first time? I believe that's the first time we've had a packed State Farm Center since March of 2020. So when in the Iowa game, I believe. So, man, it's certainly exciting to have fans back in attendance and, I mean, in a regular, not in an exhibition. I mean, actual game. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, I really enjoyed seeing the big boss man go out there and get 10 boards and had three really nice assists in the lane. I just thought it was nice to see him playing without, you know, being in pain or he seemed to be a step quicker than he was last year. So I look at that as maybe, you know, some of those nagging injuries are finally, you know, not so nagging anymore.
No question. I thought he did a great job with the 10 rebounds. I thought Omar Payne did some good things. You have to remember, like, Illinois put the spread in offense that they ran the first half in the 4 days ago. Yep. So 4 days ago, they put that in. And so now you're looking at kids now. The other guys have run this, you know, most of the guys have run this except for the freshmen and Omar Payne and Alfonso Plummer. So when we look at, sometimes Payne had some struggles in the pinch post, but overall you had a pretty, overall he had a good game too. So I thought they did a great job. I think combined, maybe they had like, you know, 9 points and 16 rebounds and three blocks. I mean, or whatever, 13 rebounds, three blocks. I mean, three assists. That's exactly what you want from those guys behind an All-American like Kofi.
Yeah, and it was funny because you know that when they break down film, there was one or two plays, one in particular where Coleman Hawkins had Bosman wide open in the lane, or no, Payne wide open in the lane, didn't pass him the ball, and then he ended up going and getting a turnover. Right after that. So it was kind of fun to, you know, I'm sure that Underwood's going to be all over Hawkins about, hey, have you ever been in the lane and somebody didn't get you the ball? Do you know how that feels? That should be a fun film session.
No question. I think Underwood's got some things to work on. I think that's what makes him really excited is he's got some, you get the win, that you show some toughness, you battle through it. And now you got a couple. Now you got some things to work on. So that there's a lot of positives that come out of that.
Yeah. And I think we also found out that despite some of the things that happened out there, you know, and again, I didn't think the point guard play was great. I also thought that it wasn't, you know, bad considering that nobody out there on the court's really been a point guard for a while in their career. But I'm sure that Coach Underwood has a lot of things to coach for guys if they are put in that situation again. And I also thought that, you know, bringing the ball up with Coleman Hawkins was an inspired idea. And I really thought that the results were pretty impressive as well, for the most part, as he was out there running the offense at 6'10". And what were your thoughts on that, Brad?
Say that the one thing you have to remember is that team, Jackson State, was third in the country in raw defensive efficiency last year. They were a tremendous defensive team, and so they have some of those guys back. So it's not surprising that they were a good defensive team. They gave Illinois some trouble.
Yep.
I mean, that's a really good option for Illinois to have to face them, because you know it puts pressure on you and it puts you in tougher situations. Now, on the other hand, I thought the other thing I want to point out is how good the Illinois defense was. They had a few breakdowns, especially late at the three-point line. But overall, they did a fantastic job of forcing contested shots, of rebounding, of closeouts, getting back in transition. Just really, you know, reading scouting reports, just a really good job. Now, we talked about in a little bit lack of leadership in the exhibition. It's amazing you throw a guy like DeMonte Williams back out there, and people will say, well, he did this or he did that, or he didn't do this or he didn't do that. But him being on the floor brings a little sense of maybe calm that wasn't there after Frazier went out in the last exhibition. So now when you get Curbelo back fully healthy, you get Frazier back out there and Kofi back out there, I think you're going to see a team that has a lot of pieces. And maybe it's a blessing in disguise you had to play this game without some of your bench or without some of your starters, because your bench gets a ton of experience.
Yeah, and watching the way Grandison played, I could see a starting lineup that could be Curbelo, Frazier, Grandison at the three, Hawkins at the four, Kofi obviously in the lane. And, man, if Grandison and Hawkins play like they did tonight, that means there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to have to play defense awfully far from the basket. And that means Kofi Coburn's in the lane and his man isn't going to get a lot of help. And I'm not certain if there's anybody in college basketball today who will weather that storm very well of having to cover Kofi one-on-one without much help.
I totally agree. I think Kofi is a game changer. And also, you know, yeah, Bello gives room to operate when they run those ball screens. And, you know, the other thing is I think Omar Payne's going to look really good when he's running off ball screens from under Curbelo, as opposed to, you know, nothing against Coleman Hawkins. But, you know, really when you're running your power forward or small forward off ball screens instead of your All-American point guard, they're not going to see the open guys as much as we mentioned earlier. So I think those guys are going to look really good in that role and filling in. And this team showed you tonight, they've got a lot of depth, a lot of weapons, and now you just hope they can get healthy. I do expect, you know, I expect at least a couple of those guys to play on Friday. It wouldn't shock me if all three of them played. Obviously Kofi won't play on Friday, but you know, you feel pretty good. I mean, when you get that kind of performance from Payne and Bosman's Verdun.
Yeah. This was an exciting, exciting night for the team. The coaching staff, they're probably excited because they got more things to coach. And obviously the fans are excited. So Brad, I know you are headed on the way home here. What are your closing thoughts before we bring in Kedrick Prince to kind of talk about what he saw from his vantage point tonight?
No, I think the biggest thing for me is that you showed it, you know, we've talked about depth and now you got to see some of that depth and you see a team and against an actual Division I opponent, a team that can, you know, a team that can play a little bit, a decent, you know, they were 11-0 in the SWAC last year, so they're not a bad team. So I think that you saw that these guys on the bench are real players. And, you know, Illinois had, you know, basically, when you take the four guys out and you take the, you know, the nine guys who got a lot of minutes tonight, eight, nine guys who got a lot, that's like 12 guys that you're going to see play, that can play. And so, not to mention, you've got a couple guys on the bench who maybe didn't get as much time, or solid players too. So you got 12 guys that are got some experience, got some time under their belt. So you never feel like you're going to go into a situation where they haven't been on the floor. So this is a huge for Illinois to get those guys experience. Obviously winning the game is important, but now you're ready for, as the schedule is going to get tougher, Friday and then Monday.
Yeah. Brad Underwood has certainly turned this program around. And, you know, not to knock anybody, but the second team for that we saw out here tonight, that could be a competitive team in a lot of leagues. And, boy, we see the effect of having a coach who, you know, knows how to coach, obviously, and also surrounds himself with guys who can recruit. And then we're seeing Brad Underwood close the deal on difference makers, and that was very evident tonight in the construction of this roster. So, Brad, any other last second thoughts, or are we going to let you head off and try to get some nourishment on your way back across frigid central Illinois?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Mike. Look forward to Friday's game.
Perfect. All right, Brad, thank you so much. And for those of you who are subscribers to IlliniGuys.com, Brad is also, while he's doing this, getting a story together that we will have out in just a few minutes. So the man never rests. It's just one thing after another. So make sure that if you're not a subscriber, you're going to want to subscribe to get some of the three keys that Brad is putting together post-game as well. Thanks, Brad. So we also have Kedrick Prince, our director of recruiting for Illini Guys. He is also at the game, and Ked's going to give us a little bit of rundown. Ked, what are the takeaways that you got from a pretty encouraging night for Illini fans?
I was happy with a lot of things, but I guess, Mike, I had a few concerns. I want to see him shoot the ball a little bit better, and I want to see him take care of the ball. The talent's there. You know, I heard the tail end of what Brad talked about. The Coach Underwood has done a beautiful job turning around the program. There's some talent there. That second unit, if you want to call it that, it's great. But I know right now there's a lot of young guys and who are playing positions that they probably would normally play. Coleman Hawkins, he just amazes me. And I asked Coach Underwood today, and I'm not trying to name drop, but I asked him tonight in the press conference, how hard is it to coach a guy like that? Because for every two or three things he does great, you know, he threw behind the back pass, and I don't know if the TV network showed it, but Coach was frustrated, but he was also in awe when he did something, you know, fabulous. So he is a matchup nightmare. I like the lineup, you know, that you mentioned. Jacob Granderson is tough. I think people are going to be surprised how much he's missed if he leaves next year. That kid is really good. He's just solid. Don't make a lot of mistakes. He's a good shooter. And you have, like you mentioned, Hawkins, you know, Granderson and Trent. I mean, it's a great problem to have. I really want to see them at full strength.
Yeah, it's going to – there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. Again, Brad highlighted the fact that Jackson State is a very good defensive team. Obviously, they don't have the size of the Illini. They're not the greatest offensive team in the world, but it was the perfect team to play on a night that you had people out. And, of course, the other, you know, Coleman Hawkins, kind of a physical marvel. We know that Kofi is. And, of course, the other physical marvel on the Illinois team is Austin Hutcherson, who was also sitting out tonight. And I kind of, you know, jokingly referred to him as, you know, a Scottie Pippen like player out there on the wing. And you start looking at, you know, guys like him and, you know, Granderson out playing the three, and then you pair them with a Coleman Hawkins and Kofi Coburn. And that is a very, very tough lineups for teams to defend. And I'm looking forward to seeing them play together.
You know, one of the things tonight, and I hope to get up on our message board tonight, which is a plug. One reason you should subscribe to IlliniGuys.com. I had the opposing coach from Jackson State talk tonight. He had great things to say about the Illinois basketball team. We don't always get the opposing coach, and tonight we were lucky enough to get him, and he talked about the length and the athleticism and, you know, not facing a team like Illinois before and how long it took them to adjust to how good they were. And, you know, they did a tremendous job of scouting Illinois. He knew that they were out, and he talked about, you know, could just only imagine to having three or four guys sitting out, how much, you know, better that this team will be. So he was very complimentary, and it wasn't coach speak. You could just tell he was very genuine about how good this team is. And it's always good to have opposing coaches say those things about your program.
Yeah. And I thought Jackson State played with high level of intensity. I thought they played with a fine degree of class, because it's not easy to get beat that bad when you're, you know, the champion of your conference. So that's not something that they're accustomed to. And I thought they played very well under some rough circumstances. First crowd since March of 2020. I mean, they had a lot of adversity going, and then to have Jonas the third get roll that ankle, you know, was, again, I'm not saying they would have, you know, the score would have been a lot different. But, you know, they had to overcome quite a bit as well, and I thought their team acquitted themselves pretty good. Any thoughts? I know, you know, one of the things that Brad and I were talking about is obviously Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk, who I, with my WWE background, call the Big Boss Man. It was great to see him out there playing well. Grandison's obvious that a lot of people on the national press have kind of, you know, they may remember Jaden Ivey, you know, playing for the under 19 team, but of course he was on the Finland's national basketball team. And it looked like he was the one thing I think about him is he's just totally unflappable out there. It doesn't really matter what happens, whether it's a high or a low, he just doesn't get that he just does not get affected. It seems like, by the emotion of the moment, and just keeps playing basketball.
You know what? It's funny you say that, Mike. I remember last year during the press conference, he made that comment to all of us. We were asking questions. I mean, you could tell how mature he is. He made the comment, "This isn't my first rodeo. You know, I know what kind of questions you guys were asking. I've been around. I'm old enough to know how this works, and nothing phases me." And you're exactly right. Because you even like tonight during the press conference, he was even keel, and there was a couple times where you could see Bosman, you know, kind of not struggling, but, you know, just not for sure how to answer a question. And he just took over, you know, and I just wish fans would understand how solid he is. I just think it's a lot of transfers has, you know, that they've not done well at Illinois. They've always, some of them have struggled, but he's one that people should really talk about. Like I said, and you mentioned, he just does everything right. He's not flashy, but if you look at his stat sheet, he has good numbers all around, and he doesn't make mistakes. And you can even tell Coach Underwood, sometimes, you know, Coach wants to yell at him. He threw a pass tonight, and before Coach even got a chance to get upset, he said, "Coach, that's my fault. I'll take the blame for it." You can hear him say it, and he's just mature. And once Coleman gets to that point, look out.
Yeah, Coleman. I saw where he had a few words for McInnes, you know, when they were going back and forth, and that was funny. But you know, Coleman's young and he plays with a high amount of intensity. So he's just going to have to grow through that and learn. And hopefully, you know, when he gets, when he does have consequences for being overly emotional, that maybe that will help him remember next time that, you don't want to do that again.
No, Coach Underwood talked about that. He loves how aggressive he is. He doesn't want to take that away from him. It's just a way of, and he wants him to be respectful. There's a way of going about it. And, you know, he doesn't want officials coming up to him. I'm assuming it must have happened again tonight, telling him, "Hey, I'm going to tee him up." And I like it. I really do. But again, there's a right time to do it. And, you know, I'll tell you who was a master at it. was Io DeSumo, and Trent's pretty good at it. They're slick about it, and you know, you would hope Coleman would learn that, but at the same time, he's so enthusiastic, and the crowd loves him. The media loves him. I bet you probably most of the questions tonight directed toward Coach Underwood was about him. I mean, think about it. He's a different breed. I've not seen a kid like him at Illinois, and I was joking about him playing point guard tonight because Coach Underwood said it, and he did. And to be honest with you, he didn't do that bad, guys. I mean, he's 6'10" and has never played it, at least at the collegiate level, I know for sure. I was impressed with the kid.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. 6'10" playing there. And I got to be honest with you, when he started playing the point guard, and obviously there were some mistakes he made, but, you know, you put Curbelo at power forward and he's going to make mistakes too. but the bottom line is, I will tell you, I sat there, and, of course, you know, Connor does a lot of our, you know, evaluations of players. And we looked at each other, and there was three letters that we both said at the same time, NBA. Because that – what he showed was just – that was amazing. You know, the fact that you can go out there and play point guard, and he did a very good job. He controlled the pace particularly well when he was out there. You know, other than a couple passes that he just needs to learn the angles on, cause he's not, you know, generally in that position. Boy, that's got to put some fear in people's hearts. And then, you know, hitting 33% from the three, he just tweaks that three percentage up a little bit. And that's a whole new defensive ball game for our opponents to have to deal with.
I didn't want to say the NBA because I didn't want to startle fans, but I agree with you. I mean, I think tonight his three-point percentage would have been a little bit better. He was tired. I mean, he was very fatigued, but I agree with you. I look at him and I thought, man, I've seen some guys playing the NBA, and I like it. It's funny you say that because I looked on our message board today, and somebody put about 15 guys that are Big Ten players on the draft board. And tonight watching Coleman, I thought, you know what? This kid's got a chance. I mean, he really does. He has a beautiful stroke. And the thing is, he is long and he rebounds and he can block shots and can guard guards. That's why I think he has a chance. And, you know, and he learns to figure out a couple of things. And you're right. He tweaked that 3-point percentage to get up to 37, 38%. Anything's possible, man.
Yeah. He just needs to take the IO approach, which is you play this year hard, you learn your lessons from the coaching staff, then you put together the pieces next year that you need. And after your junior year, you know, you probably make that jump. But assuming that you put the hard work in and it's productive. But I'm telling you what, he's another player based on what he's showing this year, both physical appearance and what he's doing on the court. It's very, very apparent that he did not waste his time in the off season. And if these guys learned anything from Io, it's that, you know, you're basically, you know, you're earning your accolades and your cheers during the season in large part by what you do in May, June, July, August, September, and October. And if you do that work well, you get those cheers and you get those that adulation and those awards. Because you've constructed and built your game just like you build a house. You build a solid foundation and you build it up from there.
Well, you can see that happening with, you know, with the entire roster, the program. You know, I know it probably – I don't know what it would have looked like on TV. And, you know, I know they missed a lot of shots. And at one time they were shooting 33% from the field and 22% from three. But they caught fire in the second half. And, you know, another guy that I really like, and I was the guy who kind of said it from the very beginning, is Luke Goody. I mean, You talk about a kid that's physically strong, and he's confident. He doesn't play like a freshman, and I love his attitude. I just really like everything about that kid. And at some point in time when he, you know, probably by January, if he continues to learn, you know, how the game is played defensively and, you know, and not look to distribute the ball and become more offensive-minded, he's going to be another nice weapon. And RJ, you know, as well. So, and I think Brandon Pajemski is going to get there. You know, I think he's caught in a numbers game right now, but it's a good freshman class. You know, the future's bright, you know, without a doubt. And then Coach Underwood talked about how much he loves all three of those guys tonight.
Yeah, they definitely look good. Goody in particular, you know, you can tell that football toughness that you have. And, you know, again, we've joked around that maybe, you know, he could go and play quarterback for the Illini as well. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that he gets himself in the right place. He does that shot is just fluid, you know, looked spectacular except for his yip on the 2 foot shot in the lane, ironically. But his 3-point stroke looked beautiful tonight. And Melendez, he gets himself in the right places. His game a little bit reminds me of Jeremy Richmond. He may not be the athlete that Jeremy was, but he seems to get himself in the right position. And then he uses some lean ins and lean backs that remind me of a 40-year-old man more than a young kid. It's like he's got some tricks that you don't see in a freshman very often. And Podzimski, you know, again, good player. It's obvious, you know, he can shoot. But this is a tough roster, and he's just going to have to be patient, and he's going to have to keep working, and he'll get his opportunities. The thing is you just got to go out there and cash in on him, you know. And what I liked about Brandon is he was one of the guys who was on the floor. So sometimes if your shot isn't working or you're not getting your shot, you gotta hustle and play defense. And he went down on the floor and drew the foul. So I thought that was an excellent lesson for you know, people who want some playing time to write down and remember that the next time you get in a game, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, I tell you, and if RJ wants to be on the court, I kind of know why he didn't play a lot in the first exhibition game. He just has to learn how to guard. That is what Brad Underwood wants from him. Because you're right, he has a knack for the ball. That guy can find the basket. He can shoot it. He's quick, and he's not afraid. He just needs to get that tough dog mentality that I'm going to guard as well as he does on the offensive end. I think if he gets that mentality that he can play defense and shows it, he's going to be in the rotation. I think Brad will go 10 deep.
Oh, that will be something to see. Ked, why don't you give us your wrap up? I know you've got a long drive back to the Quad Cities, and we do appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with us. What are your final thoughts here?
Well, I hope to see them get better each game. And I disagree with Brad kind of. I think two of the three will be back. I think, I don't know for sure, but I think there's a good chance Curbelo could be back and maybe Trent. I'm not for sure about Austin Hutchinson. I don't know how serious that is, and I know it has nothing to do with the other injury before, but I think if they get two of those three guys back, that'd be good because the competition is going to get better. I want to see Curbelo have a good game Friday night going into Monday at Marquette. That's a trap game, I think, because it's a game that they should win, even though it's on the road. Losing a game like that, I don't want to say it would hurt you at the end of the season, but it's a game that you can show, hey, it's a Big East opponent, Power 5 school, and we won on the road. So I want to see those guys play well. And more importantly, I want to see them shoot it a little bit better as a group and as a team.
Yep. Okay. That's yeah, the shooting has been a little bit slow, but let's give them some time on that. And Ked, thanks for coming here tonight. We appreciate it. And of course, anybody who's listening, you can listen to Eye on the Illini. You can also be listening to our sister podcast, Sturdy for 30. You also want to listen to Ked's recruiting roundup. We've got those podcasts that come out on a regular basis. You can get them on your Apple, your Google Play, you know, your Apple Podcasts. They're out there. Please listen to those. More importantly, though, you get a free week to subscribe before you get charged. So you get 7-day free trial. What we would tell you is you got a chance to get three games covered if you join here. You get, you know, obviously we got tonight's game, Friday night, you know, we got the next one. And then on Monday, I guess that would be Arkansas State. And then on Monday, you get the Marquette game. So that give you three particular games to see the coverage that you get. We're very comfortable that we do as good a job on Illini basketball as anybody could want. So please take a look at that. And we'd love to have you subscribe, $99 a year, and you get all of the coverage. Plus, you can go back into our message boards or our forum, and that's where you get all the rumors, all the background information. There's a lot of stuff back there that only subscribers get to see. It's a lot of fun, and it's kind of nice to know what's going on behind the scenes of a big basketball program or a big football program like Illinois has. And finally, if you enjoy this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating. That helps us out immensely. And check your local listings, or you can go on to the radio tab on IlliniGuys.com. We have a 2-hour weekly sports radio program called the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. It plays on Fridays and Saturdays, depending on the station's schedule. And you can get a list of the 25 stations across the state of Illinois that cover us, along with one in the Iowa and one in Missouri. We got a Quad City station, Davin and Davenport. We have obviously KFNS down in St. Louis, along with the rest of our stations throughout the state of Illinois. And you can see what time, what station and what times the show's broadcast. And when it's all said and done at noon on Saturdays, we also release those podcasts on Apple and Google so that you can actually listen to the show if you did not have a chance. You can play it as a podcast if you didn't have a chance to listen to it on your local station. So with that, I am so happy to tell you that the Illini won by 24. The basketball season is upon us, and it looks like Coach Underwood and the staff have put together a dynamic team that should be one of the most entertaining in Illini history, and hopefully they may be one of the most successful. So for the Illini guys, this is Mike Kegley thanking Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for joining us. Have a fantastic day, and we will talk to you.